Last evening, I spoke upon the subject of death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 said, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." George Bernard Shaw said, "The statistics of death are quite impressive. One out of one people die." My friend, as I was speaking about that, and we spoke about after this, we are reminded indeed of God's day of judgment and of eternity itself, either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. The book of Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8 says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was death, and hell followed with him." What an awful tragedy that a person could come to a gospel meeting and face the reality of death, and then their soul to go out into a lost sinner's eternity forevermore. Now, my text this evening is not about death. It's the very opposite. I want to talk to you about life. And in verse number 24 of John chapter 5, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, the early part of this chapter 5, we find that the Lord Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's at a well-known place. He is indeed there at the porch, or where he was there at the sheep market. It was a porch that was called Bethesda. The meaning of that word is mercy. It was a place of mercy. It was a place where a lot of people were lying there. The Bible tells us there were the blind, and there was the halt, and there was the withered, and they were waiting for the moving of the waters. It was a great multitude, verse 3, of impotent folk or sick people that were there. And they were lying there in the place of mercy. And thank God tonight I can tell you that you're gathered in this meeting tonight, and there's mercy with the Lord. Hallelujah. There's mercy with the Lord. You can cry out like the man in the scriptures, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," and God will answer your prayer. It was a place of five porches. Five in the scripture is the number of grace. And thank God, not only is God merciful, but God is gracious. And here we find that even as we preach tonight, the word of God says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, which is eternal life." Yes, in Christ and in Christ alone. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the Bible tells us, whilst there was a great multitude there, the word of God says in verse number 5, "And a certain man was there." In verse 6, "Jesus saw him." You know, there were a crowd of people there, but Jesus saw the individual. And my friend, I'll tell you, sitting in that car tonight, as far as God's looking, he's looking at the individual. Every person individually, God sees your heart and God sees your standing before him. Now, the Bible says that this man had been lying there with an infirmity 38 years, and he was waiting for the troubling of the water. We realize that in actual fact, his infirmity had come upon him because of a life of his sin. Because verse number 14, Jesus said to him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." And my friend, we realize here, his sickness was because of sin in his life. And he had been living a life of sin. And we find indeed that sin had found him out in his body. And there he was lying in the place of mercy and in the porch of grace. Thank God he was there. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about him. He knew exactly how long he was there. And the Lord Jesus knew exactly why he was there. My dear friend, the Lord knows exactly why you're here tonight. because there's a reason why that you have left the comfort of your home and you've come to sit in a car to listen to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Thank God that is a working of the grace of God in your heart to bring you to hear good news whereby you may be saved. Now the Lord Jesus asked the man a question. He asked this man, he said to him, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Some people say, wasn't that a stupid question? Why did the Lord ask him that question? Surely the Lord would know why he was there and he was wanting to be made whole. Let me tell you, friend, that's not a stupid question. Why are you here tonight? Let me tell you this, many a man has come to a gospel mission and yet they have no intention of being saved. Many a man or woman that has come and heard God's way of salvation. And yet the tragedy is this, my friend, they have listened to the word of the preacher, and yet they've gone away like the man in the scriptures, still unsaved, unconverted, and unprepared to meet God. But here was a man, and he was waiting there. Yes, the Lord knew that he was desiring to be healed. And so the Lord Jesus asked him a question. He wanted to hear it from him. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're going to be saved, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, nobody else can do it for you. If thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Your mum or dad can't be saved for you. My friend, your son or daughter can't call on the Lord for you. You've got to call upon the name of the Lord. And so Jesus asked him a straightforward question. Now the man said to the Lord Jesus, he said to him, listen, he says, sir, verse 7, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. In other words, he was looking to somebody else to put him into the pool. He was looking to man. And maybe you're here tonight and maybe you say, well, listen, I look to the preacher to put me into heaven or to get me into heaven. There's many a person in a congregation is relying upon their preacher to get them into heaven. Let me tell you, my friend, I don't care who he is. There's not a preacher on earth that can get you into heaven. And he said here, I have no man that will help me into the pool. Let me tell you, my friend, I can point you to Jesus Christ, but no man, including this preacher, can save your precious soul. And then he said to the Lord, he says, while I am coming, he says, another steppeth down before me. He said, in other words, I have tried it myself. I have tried to come myself, but I can't make it. Let me tell you, my friend, you cannot save your own soul. You cannot just of yourself change your heart and change your life because you cannot remove the stain of sin that is upon your soul. And so he admits, there's no man to help me, and I've tried myself, but I can't make it. My friend, it's not trying Jesus. Thank God it's trusting Christ that brings a man to new life in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said to the man, he said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And thank God tonight, at the authority of Christ, if you call upon the name of the Lord, glory to God, that moment you'll be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, shall be saved. Now, wouldn't you think that this people that were around this man would be happy, and that the Jews, the religious Jews, would be happy that this man was healed? But no, the Bible says, in actual fact, they sought to find fault with him because he was carrying his bed and his head. And the traditions of the Jews or the Pharisees was that they should not carry the bed and their head on the Sabbath day. And so they were angry and they asked him why he was doing it. And he said, well, the man that healed me told me to take up my bed and to walk. And they said, well, who is he? But the man didn't know his name was Jesus. But my friend, the Lord didn't leave him in his ignorance. Because the Bible says in verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more. And the Bible then goes on to say, verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. I want to tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got to confess it. You need to tell others that you are saved. And here's a man, and when he realized it was Jesus that had healed him, he wanted to share the good news. It was Jesus. My, whenever the Jews and the Pharisees heard that, they were absolutely mad. They were hopping mad. And we find that they confronted the Lord Jesus. They sought to persecute him. In actual fact, the Bible says they wanted to slay him. They wanted to kill the Savior because he had delivered a poor, lost and lonely soul that had been lying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years and healed him on the Sabbath day. They wanted to slay the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, whenever they confronted Jesus, he didn't run away from him. He didn't back off. But we find that the Lord Jesus Christ confronts them concerning who he is. Because not only is his name Jesus, which means Savior, but he tells them that God is his Father and that he is therefore the Son of God and made himself equal with God. Of course, that is true. The Lord Jesus Christ is equal in his nature. He's equal in his works. He's equal in his love. He's equal in his knowledge. He's equal in his sovereign power with the Father, in judgment and in worship. Indeed, the Father hath committed, the Bible tells us, judgment, verse number 22, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And on the day of judgment, friend, the Bible says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, for God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not come to Christ tonight, and you do not receive him as your Savior, one day you will be called out to stand before the judgment, friend, and upon the throne of judgment is the Lord Jesus that you have rejected, the one that you would not receive as your Savior, but then you will stand before him as your judge. And whenever the Lord Jesus said this, he said in verse number 23, all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And so we find here the importance of the relationship that Jesus Christ was not only the Son of God, but he is God the Son. And he is equal with the Father and with the Holy Ghost, the third person of the adorable Trinity. Now the Lord Jesus therefore goes on. He doesn't back off against this hatred. He goes on in verse 24 and he tells them that there's only two categories of people in the world. My friend, as far as the province is concerned and as far as the world is concerned, there are many categories of people. But as far as God is concerned, there are two categories of people. Those who have eternal life or those who are spiritually dead. Look at verse 27. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so therefore it's so important to know that that life eternal is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I want to tell you, my friend, if you want life eternal, you'll only find it not in the church, not in baptism, not in the rituals of your denomination. You will only find it in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. If you haven't Jesus, listen, you can have life as far as a physical existence is concerned, but you have not eternal life. and you'll go into a lost eternity. And spiritually, you have spiritual death, and you will die eternally and go to a lost eternity. John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And dear unsaved person, that's a dangerous place to be in, isn't it? That even now it says that if you do not believe on God's Son as your Savior, it says the wrath of God abideth on him. And it's only a personal, living, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ that will bring you into a blessed experience and knowledge of sins forgiven, and then into heaven itself. Let me ask you a question. What is your relationship with God in Jesus Christ? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as receive him. So I asked you, my friend, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if you haven't, then you're still in your sin. And if you're still in your sin, the wrath of God abideth on you. You say to me tonight, you said you're going to speak upon life. Let me tell you, my friend, the way to this life. Because this life, the Bible says, that life is in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ alone. Now look at verse number 24. It says here, first of all, here's the clarity. Verily, verily, I say unto you. That word verily means truly. Truly, says Jesus, I say unto you. You know, we live in an age of confusion. It's hard to know what to believe. Although a lot of people concerning COVID said, there's so many mixed messages, I don't know what to believe. But my friend, let me tell you, what I'm talking about is far more important than COVID. I'm talking about sin, about man's relationship with God. I'm talking about the day of judgment. I'm talking about the day whenever you'll be called to meet God and be brought out into eternity. Whether you want to go or not, your soul shall be required of thee. And sad today, there are many preachers that have an uncertain sound as far as the gospel is concerned. We have some preachers that try to strip the gospel message down to make it acceptable to their hearers. And so therefore they want to please their hearers. We have got easy believism. There's no necessity for repentance. There's no need for conviction. There's no need to turn away from sin. My dear friend, I want to tell you, God's word says if you don't repent, you'll perish. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God convicts us and convinces us concerning, yes, righteousness, judgment, temperance, and judgment to come. And of course, there are other preachers that make it so hard that people cannot understand. Let me tell you, my friend, it is so important for the preacher to preach, as the Scripture says, that a wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. It's my responsibility. That's why I've come here. It's to preach the word, not to preach the theories of man, not to preach the teachings just of a church or a denomination. I'm here to bring the word. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And I've got to do what it is, rightly divide the word of truth. Now, my friend, the word that I have tonight is very clear. Verily, verily, or truly, 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 you can depend upon what God says. Listen, when it's in this book, my friend, you can depend upon it. Thank God this is the inspired, the infallible, the precious word of the living God. In actual fact, you know what God said? Though heaven and earth may pass away, he says, my word shall never pass away. And you know, friend, God's word is true. And it's the truth that sets men free. I want to tell you, you can depend upon what God says concerning salvation, because he's the God, Titus 1 verse 2, which cannot lie. He can't lie. It's not only he doesn't, he can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. For God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus is a sinless, spotless, holy, undefiled Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so he says, truly, truly, listen, I say unto you. And my friend tonight, the message I'm bringing, it's what Jesus said. That's all that counts. That's all that matters. Forget about me. It's what does Jesus say concerning the issue of your immortal soul? What does Jesus say about eternal life? What does Jesus say about spiritual death? This is the most serious matter that we could ever talk about. You remember the young man in the scriptures, Mark chapter 10. He was a rich ruler. He come running down the dusty pathway. He fell in the presence of the Savior. He looked into the eyes of Christ and he said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? My friend, he had riches. He was a ruler. He was a person that was up in society. And yet he hadn't the knowledge of how to obtain eternal life. I want to tell you, there's no reason to doubt tonight. I say, Jesus said, I say unto you. And so listen to the word of God, friend. Ah, forget about the temple here that's standing before you. This piece of clay that God has called to preach the gospel. Forget about me. But all listen, truly, truly, I say unto you, the most important issue is the issue of your soul. My friend, you've got to be sure about it. And Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You're standing on the brink of eternity, friend. And you need to be ready and right with God. Not only have we the clarity, we have the conditions here. Jesus said, he that heareth my words. You'll find over and over again the scripture says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen up, friend. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. You need to hear the word of God. Friend, that's a privilege. Never take that for granted, that you have the opportunity to hear the word of God. The Bible tells us, how can a man preach except he be sent? And thank God, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Because it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has ordained to save them that believe. God said to Ezekiel the prophet, he said, I have called thee as a watchman. And I want you to stand there in the watchtower. And as the enemy approaches, I want you to blow the trumpet of warning. And I want you to do this. Warn them from me. It's not about you. It's warn them from me. And my dear friend, I'm here tonight with a solemn responsibility to warn you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that heareth my word. Never take that for granted. You know there are men and women, and they're going out into God's eternity, and they've never heard this gospel of redeeming grace. They're dying in their sin, and where Christ is, they'll never be. But God has given you the privilege, and God has given you the opportunity to hear God's precious word again. He that heareth my word, you need to hear it. And then you need to do something else. You've got to heed it. Notice what it says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. In other words, you've got to heed it. You've got not only to hear it with the ear, but you've got to receive it with the heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It says, believe on him that sent me. God sent his son, friend. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I want you tonight to know this. It's through him, it's through Christ, that God has sent his Son not to condemn you, because your sin already does that, but that you might be saved. And there's only one that can save you, friend. And his name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Why did God send his Son? That men and women might be saved. And you must believe tonight that Jesus was divinely commissioned by the Father. God sent his Son into this world. He was divinely commissioned to come into this world. What to do, friend? To save you, to die in your guilty room instead, that you might have eternal life. And thank God, if you rest in God's word, then thank God you'll be saved. You've got to believe it. D.L. Moody, a man, came to him one night. He was worried because he said to him, "Mr. Moody, I don't feel saved." Moody turned to him and he asked him a question. He said, "Tell me, friend, was Noah safe in the ark?" And the man turned to him and he said to him, "You know, Mr. Moody, he certainly was." Well, Mr. Moody said to him, "Tell me this. Well, what made him safe? Was it his feelings or was it the ark?" Let me tell you, my dear friend, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the ark of refuge. He is the only way of salvation. I am the way, the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Tell me, have you heard? Yes, you're hearing now. But have you believed? Have you rested your soul upon what God did for the salvation of your soul and sending his Son to the cross of Calvary to die in your guilty room instead, that you might not perish but have everlasting life? Friend, here we not only see the clarity, not only the condition, but we have the certainty here, the certainty. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hath everlasting life. And the moment you receive Christ and believe and rest your soul in his blood and finished work upon the cross, in your guilty room instead, on your behalf, he died, the just one, for you and me, the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. And friend, once you do that, it says half, not might have, but thank God it says half everlasting life. Remember, God found us in the state of death. We were spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Friend, that's why you can't save yourself, because you're dead spiritually. A dead man can't wash his face. A dead man can't dress himself. A dead man can do nothing for himself. And neither can you spiritually, friend. It has to be someone else, and that someone is Jesus Christ, the Savior of God's elect. He found us not only in the state of death, he found us in the state of condemnation. If John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." But thank God, the certainty is the moment you believe, you have everlasting life. It's your present possession. Why? Because it's God's gift. And thank God, the gift of God, the Bible says, are without repentance. In other words, he doesn't give it to you and then take it away from you. Thank God, the gift of God is eternal life. Yes, he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And thank God, it means, God means what he says. Life that will never end. Even death itself cannot destroy it. Someday you'll hear that this preacher's dead. But I want to tell you, my friend, don't believe a word of it. Because as far as the old body's concerned, Yes, it can lie down and go to the grave. But praise God, I'll not be dead. I'll be with Christ. My soul shall be in the presence of my Savior. What did Paul say? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. He said to be with Christ, which is far better. The psalmist was able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's not a hope-so salvation. Thank God it's a no-so salvation. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He that believeth, heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And that's what I have tonight. Thank God I have everlasting life because God gave it to me. And thank God Jesus Christ, the Son of God, purchased it for me at the cross of Calvary in the shedding of his precious blood. He died that I might be forgiven. And then quickly notice the comfort in the verse. Shall not come into condemnation. Thank God we'll never come into condemnation. We have no reason to fear meeting God, friend, because we'll never be condemned. You read the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. It starts with these words. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank God if you're in Christ tonight. If Christ is your Savior, if you're resting on him and his blood and the work of his cross, thank God you'll not come into condemnation. Why? Because Jesus Christ, he stood in your guilty room instead at Calvary, and he was condemned in your place. In my place, condemned, he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Verse Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Romans chapter 8 starts with no condemnation. And then in the middle it says there's no accusation. The devil cannot make an accusation because, thank God, Jesus Christ took our sins. He put them away. Behold the Lamb of God that beareth away or taketh away the sin of the world. And then, thank God, it ends up there's no separation because there's nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Thank God, in other words, I'm eternally secure in Christ. That's why I can rejoice tonight. God is my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and my elder brother. Thank God the blessed Spirit of God witnesses and abides in my heart. And one day I'm going to heaven and I'm going to be with Christ, which indeed is far better. I have loved ones already there. And thank God one day I'll be there too. Have you that blessed assurance in your soul? Shall not come into condemnation, but is past. Listen, is past. Listen, it's already over. Past from death unto life. I pass from spiritual death because of my sin, separated from God because of it. But thank God I passed from death unto life. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And thank God the work that God has done my heart can never be undone. You know, whenever Moody came to the end of the journey, he said, this is my coronation day. Thank God for those that are saved tonight. Thank God the crowning day, it's coming by and by. Tell me, do you know the Lord? Let me ask you, is your trust in Christ? Are you trusting in yourself? The man in the opening part of the chapter, he says, I've no man, sir. Have no man to help me. And then he said, I have tried myself and I can't make it. Thank God Jesus said, he says, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he was made whole. If you call on the Lord tonight to save you, I have great news. Thank God he'll do it. He'll not half do the job. Praise God, he'll do the work. He'll finish the work as he did for you at the cross of Calvary. With this, I close. Queen Victoria, as she was wont, she often visited the humble and the poor. And on one occasion, she came to a lonely cottage. And she went in to see there was just an elderly lady who lived on her own in that house. Queen Victoria said to the elderly lady, when she sat down, she said, is there anything that I can do for you? And the woman said to Her Majesty, she said, I have everything I need. I have everything I want. Thank you, Your Majesty. But the Queen said, but I should like to do something for you. And then the lady said this, I have all I need. But if Your Majesty would promise me one thing, I would be very glad. And the Queen sat there. She looked at the lady. She said, I shall do that if I can. And the dear old lady looked at the Queen and she said these words, Oh, Your Majesty, if you would just promise me to meet me in heaven, that's all I want. Softly the Queen turned, looked into the face of that elderly saint of God, and she said this, I shall do that in virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, that's the only way for you. It was only the way for Queen Victoria. It's only the way for me. By virtue of the blood of Christ, the finished work of Jesus' cross, thank God that's the way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. Tell me, will you come to him tonight? Or will you turn and go away again without Christ? Will you walk away from the Savior, the man who came to Christ and he said, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The Bible says that he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Are you going home that night? That way tonight, sorrowful, still in your sin? Or will you call upon Christ to save you? And thank God if you trust him, believe in him alone, thank God you're saved. You'll not come into condemnation, but thank God you're passed from death unto life, and you're bound for heaven. And thank God when the call comes, all you've got to do is go. May God grant that that is so. In Jesus' precious name, amen.